Welcome back for another episode of Roll Digs, the official podcast of Montana Tech Athletics. I'm Paul Panisco here for Roll Digs, and as always, thanks for joining us as we get ready for another episode here. Looking forward to this one as we have Abby Clark joining us here for Roll Digs. Abby Clark, just an incredible athlete, an even better student, if there is such thing, to be completely honest. Just excels at everything she decides to put her mind to, and really excited for her future, not only, again, in athletics. She's getting ready for outdoor nationals for track and field, as she's currently the number two heptathlon athlete in the country. Two-time All-American, just an absolute monster as far as the multi-events go. But she's also getting ready for her internship with Nucor, which will take place immediately after she heads on down to nationals. So once again, thanks for joining us here for Roll Digs. And this week's guest, Abby Clark. Abby Clark, how you doing?
Doing pretty good.
You're the only person I've ever done a full dress rehearsal with in podcast fashion, but I'm happy to sit here and chat with you again.
Like I said, I'm willing to do this multiple times. Like I'm a yapper, Paul. Well, you know this.
I do, and I thank you, and I cannot express how sorry I. That was the weirdest thing. Like I don't even know. But I'm excited to sit and chat
again. We love it.
Exactly.
Love it. What else am I going to do with my free time?
So much of it. I mean, you have so much of it between full time track, and then obviously it's not just like one or two events. You're like, you know what? I'm going to go with 8 or 10. And then from there to, the workload you have in school. And then, the last couple of years, you're like, I'm going to introduce volleyball back into my life. You have no free time, Abby.
Well, this week I do. All of that ended. I graduated. We're good now. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this week? I've got practices, but what am I supposed to do in between?
Are you honestly kind of going stir crazy?
A little bit. Okay. I binged like a season and a half of Severance yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah, it was okay. Good. It was good.
Okay, we can get into that later if you'd like. Well, I do thank you for your time. And joking aside, you are insanely busy with everything you pack into your life. And I would assume that is how you like it. That's probably all you know, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always been really busy. 3-sport athlete in high school. Added club volleyball a couple years there too.
Okay.
I just like being busy. I know I'm something I'm trying to work on. It's good to just sit down and chill occasionally and just live. So I'm getting better at that, but I do like having a lot of things going on. So
from someone that lives on that kind of same part, like I don't handle downtime well at all. Do you find you're getting better at it? Do you have to focus on it and try and learn how to?
I'm getting much better. I'm definitely reading a lot more than I did like throughout high school in the first couple of years of college. Reading.
And reading for enjoyment rather than enjoyment, reading because you have to.
Yeah. Like I've read several good series. I listen to a lot of audiobooks too.
Okay.
So I can like do something with my hands. I also like just random things like paint by number and like embroider and just random things like that.
Okay.
But yeah, I try to, especially in the summer and, these little odd times where I don't have much going on. I do enjoy just, random little hobbies, but
okay.
Yeah.
Good for you. I think, and I've told you this before, and I'm going to tell you again anyway, you are, in my opinion, like the picture perfect student athlete. I think, sometimes in different places and in different situations, one or the other kind of gets lost at times, where we focus on the student or we focus on the athlete part. But as far as what you do athletically, balanced by the incredible workload you have and you put on yourself academically, you are like the picture perfect, especially for Montana Tech, student athlete, in my opinion.
Well, thank you.
You are an incredible athlete. We're going to talk about track. We're going to talk about this volleyball thing that you've rolled in here in the last couple of years. But then we have to talk about the schooling side of it as well. You're in one of the harder programs here on campus in metallurgical and material sciences. Let's start about how you got here. If you don't mind, you talked 3-sport athlete in high school. Let's talk about your path to Tech first, and then we'll we'll get offline and go somewhere else.
Yeah. So I never really considered tech initially. I think the only reason I ever applied was for the general application that was free. So it's like I just applied to all Montana schools for free. I was like, why not? But I really wanted to do engineering, and that was always like on my mind.
Okay.
So I really considered a lot of out-of-state schools, especially for sports. I was really sure for a while that I was going to go to South Dakota School of Mines. Like, I even took senior pictures in a South Dakota School of Mines shirt.
Okay.
But I could have done volleyball and track there. But I ran into a situation where for the volleyball team, they didn't really have a lot of roster room. So I could have redshirted, done track. And Tech didn't have a track team. So it's like it was either volleyball or no go.
Okay.
So, yeah, I considered a lot of other schools out of state. And the engineering just kind of came like I grew up on a farm. I always liked working with my hands. I really liked chemistry. I had an amazing science teacher in high school who was also my track coach and assistant basketball coach. Kevin Shaw, he's the greatest.
So you spend 20 hours a day with him, basically?
Yeah, a lot. A lot of time with him. But yeah, I loved chemistry, and I really thought I wanted to do chemical engineering. So that pretty much only left MSU on my list for Montana schools. But I, you know, I applied to all of them just because, yep. You know, why not? Could get a free application. But yeah, I didn't really consider Tech until Brian Solomon, the volleyball coach, reached out to me to come and do a visit and just practice with them.
Okay.
And I came and visited. It wasn't the greatest because I sprained my ankle on that first on that first practice. So a lot of the girls on the team, like Megan and Lex, that were there at that time, they remember me as that girl that sprained the ankle. I was like, oh, yep, that's me.
Wow.
But on that tour, the tour guide had mentioned that they were starting a track program. It was like there were three girls on that tour. And she was like, oh, do any of you do track? I was like, I do. I didn't realize that Tech had a track team. And she was like, oh, we're just starting it. We had cross country. We're going to do sprints, throws, jumps next year. It's like,
Okay.
Interesting. And I really did enjoy that visit, like just getting on campus and seeing how
and blowing your ankle.
Blowing my ankle, you know, besides that.
Little things.
But yeah, like talking to the materials and metallurgy department was awesome. I met my department head. I met several of the professors there. And it was just really cool. I was like, oh, I didn't really know much about it. I kind of had a hint. I was like, okay, materials needs to be obviously, I don't know, maybe along the lines of chemical engineering. But yeah, I think I realized it was maybe more what I wanted to do with my degree, especially because in high school I did a work study with a hemp fiber processing plant in my hometown.
Okay.
And the woman that owns the company and runs it with her dad, she was a chemical engineer. And so that's kind of how I got into that work study. And she was, you know, kind of showing me the ropes. It was a lot of like little flow sheets. And I was like, oh, this is what engineering is. It's pretty interesting. So yeah, I feel like that translated really well into the materials and metallurgy. And then I found out that I got some pretty good scholarships for Tech. Again, filled out that general application and reached out to the track coach at the time. And he was like, oh, like you are already on my list. Like, do you want to come on another visit? So I did. And I did the whole thing again. My dad came on the first volleyball visit. My mom came on the second one.
Okay.
So I went back to the materials and metallurgy department. And I made my mom tour it and meet everybody. And I was like, yeah, this is really cool. Like, what do you think? And I think she was really happy that I was maybe considering staying in state. Because before, it wasn't. Yeah. I was like, I need to go out of state and go to chemical engineering and do sports. But I remember we went to Sparky's for lunch, and I was like, I am going to commit. Oh, yeah. That very same day. So
by lunch, visit number two, you were ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So talk about the difference between the first visit when you really weren't sure. You know, you were talking volleyball, you roll your ankle. But the difference between that first visit and the second visit when your eyes are kind of open to materials and med a little bit. Talk about even just the mindset difference there.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like when I stepped on campus, it just felt right. Like, and I always say that for recruiting, for metallurgy too. I was like, we just need to get people on campus.
Yeah.
There was a point in between those two visits where Brian had called me and he said, like, hey, I'm so sorry, but it's COVID. Like, we have so many people coming back for their eligibility. And it was, I think he had heard like, oh, I mean, we've heard there's a track program starting and he's interested in you. Maybe you could come back in a couple years. And at that point, I was like, you know what? Like, I don't want to depend on that. I was like, track seems like a good option. And then, again, that was before the second visit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, things just fell into place. I realized that I could go to school for basically free. And I was like, you know what? This is great. This is a great opportunity. I'm a little bit closer to home. So, and it wasn't something I was like, oh, yeah, metallurgy is, like, perfect for me. It was more just, like, I stepped on campus and I was like, tech just feels right.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't spent much time in Butte. This is just a cool place. It just feels right. So.
And you and I have discussed this before, and it metallurgy is one that is, it gets killed by its own name, it feels like, mm-hmm. at times. You know, I don't think the bulk of people have any idea what metallurgy is. And I fall into that category as well. I mean, my daughter is in Met, and before she signed on the dotted line, if you will, I don't think I could have told you what the Met department does.
Yeah. And I feel like that happens a lot with the prospectors too, or the people that give the tours.
Yeah.
They'll walk by and they'll be like, yeah, this is the metallurgy department. We don't really know what they do. So it was kind of a joke too. It's like, we always joke that we're the alchemists, but I feel like the best way to explain it is, Grant Wallace, when he was actually on my first initial visit, but he just got promoted to a full-time professor position. Oh, so
yes.
Yay for Grant.
Darn
really
right.
Proud of him. But he always explains it like, we make the stuff that stuff is made of. So think like there's rock in the ground and we mine that, but we need to get the metal out of the rock. Because obviously, like, I don't think that people realize that it's not really a lot of veins full of just like the solid metal.
Yeah.
It's like you actually have to process it and get the metal out. And then from there, sometimes it'll just be in like this liquid that you actually literally melt it down and get essentially acids, or you can even float it into like this little froth. So you get the metal out and then you have to get it into a product that people can actually use for other products like copper. Like, we'll put it into these little copper sheets and actually have that, you know, people can take it, make it into wire for electronic components, etc. So it's like, there has to be a middleman. There's like the raw material and then there's the final product, but we actually like make the stuff is made of. I feel like that's the best way to explain it.
Solid.
It's still kind of confusing, but I feel like it would be less mysterious if it was literally just called metals and materials engineering.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. But
truly,
metallurgy, and I think it used to be called like mineral dressing here, which is really weird. I'm like, what? But yeah, it's like mineral processing essentially.
Mineral dressing wouldn't fly. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also mineral processing in the more the material science side, and I'm a little bit more drawn to the material science side, but
there are so many avenues
mm-hmm.
in it. It's not even funny. Mm-hmm. You know, you start talking to people and the more it opens your eyes, the availability of professions and things to do after graduation are pretty, honestly, just insane,
mm-hmm.
you know, pretty limitless.
Yeah. And I feel like people always say that mechanical engineering is really broad, but metallurgy and materials is very broad as well.
Yeah.
It's a lot more chemistry based, which I really enjoy. Like I said, I really like chemistry.
Okay.
So it was just the perfect fit.
Nice. So you knew it that second, you knew at lunch at Sparky's. Was it the pulled pork sandwich that grabbed you, or what? I mean, it was that?
You know, I think I had the ribs.
Okay.
It's kind of funny, full circle, because we went there for my graduation lunch and
nice.
I had the ribs again.
Good for you.
I love the sweet potato fries with their Chipotle ranch.
Let's talk about three sport athlete. When you decide to come to Montana Tech, you know, you're at the forefront of kind of the track program. Talk about kind of getting that process started. You know, you were talking volleyball initially. It certainly turned to track and you were in on the ground floor here at Montana Tech.
Yeah. So I feel like just getting to start something from the ground up, like they said, this was the first year. My freshman year was the first year that they had sprints, jumps, hurdles. And I think that was a big proponent for me considering the program. I was like, oh, yeah, this would be really fun. Hiccups. Really fun. And I feel like I just had a lot of fun in track my senior year of high school, too. That initially I had considered track because I felt like I was good at it. I was good enough at it. But it was like, you know what? I am having so much fun with it this year that continuing in college would be great.
Well, and you struggled the last, obviously COVID was a big factor in your high school, because that would have been your junior year, is that right?
Yeah.
And then an injury your sophomore year really kind of limited your high school career.
Well, it wasn't really an injury. I had some like health issues with my, I actually have like an indented sternum, so I was having a lot of issues breathing.
Okay.
And then like my lips would turn blue in basketball season, my oxygen levels were low. I mean, like couldn't really figure it out. So I just had some health issues, and a lot of it was, you know, breathing related. So I couldn't really just perform as well as I had in track, especially my freshman year. But I, I kind of worked through those. I junior year going into that, I felt like a lot stronger. I was a lot stronger. I was going to have a much, much better season. But obviously that was taken away from us because of COVID, unfortunately. But yeah, going into my senior year, it was also coming off of our state championship win for basketball. And it just, I don't know, senior year just felt different. We didn't, we weren't really expected to do anything at state. I mean, we had really, really strong teams my freshman, sophomore, junior year. Like we probably, we would have done really well my junior year, especially. We had a lot of really good athletes that year. But yeah, my senior year, it's not like we were really expecting to do much. I don't even think we were supposed to win anything at state. Getting that tying for third place was a huge surprise for us. But also, like, at that point, I wasn't really standout in high school either. I think, like, I jumped 4'11 in high jump in seventh grade when I started it, and then 5 foot eighth grade year, and then I was the same, like, all throughout high school. I did not get any better. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Same thing with hurdles. I, like, I was a three-stepper in, like, seventh, eighth grade because I'm so tall. But then it just, like, never really got better. I just couldn't turn that switch on to sprint, which is still something I struggle with today a little bit. But I wasn't really like an amazing standout athlete, but I feel like I already had a good baseline for those multi-events. And I already knew what the heptathlon was because my uncle did it. Well, my uncle did the decathlon for MSU. And I did high jump, hurdles, and the 200, some relays. And I was like, I just had a really good, I guess, baseline for the multis. But then I did start long jump my senior year. And it also started off pretty bad. It was maybe like 14s, 15s, slowly inched my way into the 16s around divisionals. And then my teammate, Aspen Giese, was pretty much supposed to win that year. So going into state, I don't think I was supposed to get any points. I don't think my coach expected me to get any points. And I think it was first jump out of the gate, I had a massive PR and jumped like 16-11. And then I think Caitlin McCauley, who is also, I compete against her all the time for NAIA as well, because she's a two-time national champ in the heptathlon and pentathlon, I think. But yeah, she jumped like a quarter of an inch ahead of me, I think. And so going into finals, it was Aspen and then me and then Caitlin, I guess third, second, first, because they go in reverse order. So Aspen goes and jumps, and she jumps like 17, which is easily enough to bump her into first place.
Yeah.
And I'm right behind her, and I'm, like, standing on the runway just cheering because I'm so excited for her. I was like, I'm in third place right now. Yep. It was so much better than
life
I was expecting. Yeah, life is good. Like, we're great. I just started this event this year. This is great. And I run down the runway, do my last jump, get out of the pit immediately and go and give her a hug. Didn't even wait to hear my jump.
Yeah, your excitement was for Aspen.
My excitement was for her. I was on the runway. I was, like, so excited for her. I was like, oh, my goodness. Fort Benton is going to be on the top three on the podium. Like, that's great. I mean, Caitlin, obviously, she was from North Country. But I was like, you know, having two people from Fort Benton in the top three, that's great. And then I didn't even wait to hear my mark. I just went and gave her a hug because it was just right at the end of the pit. And all of a sudden, we hear 17-3. And we're just like, Aspen and I look at each other and we're like, what? So we ended up getting first and second that year, which is huge.
It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. And I remember being so, like, disappointed. Not disappointed. I was really sad going onto the podium because I felt that that was Aspen's to win. And I was so, I felt really bad, which is kind of funny looking back. Up until I got on the podium, I was crying. I felt so bad. But,
Well, I think it says a whole lot about who you are as a teammate. and also, we want to get into the psychic side of it. The idea of when you're on the runway, you're so excited for your teammate and everything else. When you can leave everything else behind, it's amazing what you can push yourself to do.
That's happened a couple times too, like at conference. I think last year especially, kind of going with like Jaden and I, There was a girl from Providence that jumped. I think she jumped up into first. And all I was thinking was like, oh my goodness, like we need points. And I ended up jumping a massive PR and then hitting the A standard for nationals, which I never expected to qualify for long jump ever. So that was a huge surprise. And it's happened a couple times where I just like, I'm literally on the runway. I hear a mark and I'm like, everything else leaves my brain. I'm like, it's go time. So I don't know. It's kind of fun. I'm very competitive that way.
You think? But also,
yeah. Yeah.
When was the first, I mean, coming into Montana Tech, were you thinking initially that it was multis, or was that something that, Coach Kuhn at the time and you guys talked about, or how do you honestly kind of get started as far as the multis go?
So I feel like the multis, like I said, my uncle did the multis at MSU. And so I knew what they were, but I feel like that idea really started when I was talking to a few coaches, like at UND. I had a small offer to go there. And then I also had been talking to the University of Utah coaches, and they said that they would even offer me a walk-on there to do multis because they had a pretty small team. But I feel like that just kind of opened my eyes, and I was like, these D1 schools are like, I actually think that I'm good enough to do the multi. Imagine what I could do at like a smaller school. So when I had talked to Zach about joining the team, I had definitely said, I was like, I want to come as a multi. I was like, I already have the baseline. High jump, hurdles, 200, long jump now at this point. So yeah, I guess long jump came after I had signed, but I started long jump because of the multi.
I was just going to say, that's a heck of a side benefit. You'd be like, well, look, I'm on top of the podium.
Yes. So it's like, I'm definitely a jumper, but the multis are, I am a multi. I feel like I have a really strong base in all of them, but the jumps are definitely my strength within the multi. So
do you think your personality would allow you to do anything but the multis? You know, if you were like a one or two sport athlete?
Probably not. I just know, like, even if I came on just for jumps and maybe hurdles, I would have looked at some other multis and been like, I did high jump and hurdles. Those are like notoriously some of the hardest ones to learn. Yeah. I mean, obviously you have shot put and javelin, which are different, but I love those. They're fun. But yeah, I probably would have looked at the other multis and been like, I want to do that. So, I know that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. So
yeah, it has to be a good feeling.
Yeah.
When you bring up the idea that you love certain aspects of it, which are the ones that are hard to get yourself motivated for? When you talk multis, which are the ones you're just like, or is there anything?
I don't think there's any that I... Good for you. It's really hard for me to... Well, the 800. I don't love the 800, but it's also like, you get the nerves from running a race that's not very fun, but then also it's to cap off the very end. So
just the idea of pouring everything into it.
Yes. And it's like a lot of points can be lost or gained in the 800.
Yeah.
There's a big swing. And luckily I don't have to worry too much about losing a lot of points. So that's also good. I mean, I don't like the 800. Let's just say I do not like the 800, but I'm not horrible at it. Yeah. I'm not horrible at it. So it's okay. But, I feel like the ones that maybe are more of my weaknesses are Jav. I don't really practice it that often, but it's not bad. Like I can still throw like 110 feet with very minimal practice. Mm-hmm. And then hurdles, I do practice that a lot. It's a long story. I started hurdles in like sixth grade, and I was definitely a better 300 hurdler in high school. So I think it would actually be kind of fun. Maybe next year when I'm unattached and I don't really have anything to do, maybe I'll just rip a 400 hurdle race just to see.
Yeah.
But I was a much better like 300 hurdler. And then in the 100s, I just could not turn that switch on to sprint. So even now, like I struggle with that. And last year I always had just this bad attitude about it. Like I would go to practices and I just feel like I wouldn't get any better. And even at nationals, like I think I tied my PR, but I was so disappointed because I was like, I know I could run faster. Like I can run a pretty good 200. It was like, I can beat all of these girls in the 200. Why can't I run? Why can't I just sprint through the hurdles? So,
Do you feel it's just you getting your own way?
Yeah, I think so. But this year, I feel like I've had a much better mindset about it. It was good. Like, we're just slowly making improvement. And Chuck's been a big impact on me for that because he's, you know, he lives hurdles. He loves hurdles.
Yeah.
So, that's been a big help. And I did get much, much better in indoor in the 60s. And yeah, usually before, like the start was really not a strength of mine at all. I was pretty bad at my hurdle start. And this year it's great. So now I just need, like, the first four are great, and now I just need to turn that switch on and actually sprint through the last couple. Because I can jog in three-step. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, some people actually have to sprint and run fast
to get to three-step.
Yeah. And I don't. I can jog, and it's fine. So that's why I just need to turn the switch on. We're getting there. I have a much better mindset this year, and I've got one more hurdles race at Nationals, and I feel like that's it. That's all I'm hoping for is a PR, and I don't have to run sub-15 because, you know, we're just battling against ourselves. So if I just get a little bit of a PR, we'll be good.
There you go.
Yeah. And then I'll have indoor next year. So
yeah, I was going to say, and a PR in the outdoor would be a heck of a mark. You know, you go back to last year and the numbers you put up were just incredible. You know, like 5,100 plus points, mm-hmm, and you finished third in the nation. That group was insane. The amount of numbers that were being thrown around were incredible.
Yeah. Which is also, it's really encouraging for me because I feel like I have so much more to give. Obviously it's really hard to go in a multi and, you know, put up PRs and everything. And I think I did have a lot of PRs in my conference multi last year that initially got me to 5,000 points. Mm-hmm. But then at the outdoor multi, like hurdles, I tied my PR, but like, I know I can run faster this year. I have a much better mindset. And I think on the day we'll get there. And then also high jump. I only jumped like 161, which was the lowest that I've jumped all year, pretty much. And then this year, I just feel so much better. I know I have much more to give. And like long jump, I think I jumped 566 last year, but I've been consistently in the 570s, and I'm really focusing on raising my floor. I'm like, I don't need a PR, maybe. But if I'm just, you know, getting there very consistently, like raising my consistent baseline, I feel like that's going to be much more important on that day. I always talk about like our floors and our ceilings. Like obviously raising your ceiling is really important because you want a PR and you want to keep improving your absolute max best effort. But I also think it's really important to improve your floor because let's say like, oh, I go to a multi, I can trust that I'm not going to go below this certain point.
Yeah.
It's like, even if I have a bad day, like my floor is pretty high.
Yeah.
Or even you might have a day, it's like, yeah, I'm not reaching my ceiling today. My ceiling feels pretty low, but my floor is really high. Like, I know I'm not going to go below, like, let's say 18 feet in long jump, which I'm getting much more consistent at. The last couple of meets have been a little funky with wind and, you know, just
Montana weather.
It's been very cold. But yeah, so it's like I've been jumping consistently in the 570s, and hopefully I fouled a lot of really big jumps this year.
Okay.
So hopefully I can just piece that together and at Nationals just pop a really big one. It's like, I just feel like I have so much more to give.
Yeah.
I've just been really focusing on raising my floor this year and just getting more consistent. I don't feel like I have had necessarily like an outstanding year as far as like PRs and breaking school records, but I feel like I've just gotten a lot more consistent and a lot more confident in my abilities. So,
and I think consistency in any single event is a huge deal, but the idea of staying consistent across the board is really saying something.
Yes. And even like I scored, I think 4,900 to get to Nationals. And honestly, I was really hoping to get 5,000 again, but I was like, I'm still ranked second with a score that I'm not really a score with a lot of events and performances in that multi that I just wasn't very proud of. And I was like, again, I'm raising my floor. I wasn't feeling the greatest for my conference multi, and I still put up a pretty good score. I was still second in the nation. So I was like, imagine what we can do if we just tie it all together and, you know, do it at Nationals.
I think that mindset's brilliant. And the idea that you're there, you know, and we're a week out is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So what, talk about the, is the time off hard? Is like kind of the dead space hard? Because you go from, you know, going full speed, you know, you're obviously practicing in that, but is it hard to translate practice into, you know, kind of turning it into real life and in real time?
As far as like in this gap between,
because we, you know, you go from meet to meet to meet to meet and going, and now it's kind of slide into Nationals. Yeah. Is it hard to keep that mindset at the top, or does this actually help you a little bit?
I feel like in the season, I've definitely just been kind of focused on like, okay, I've got all this stuff in between. And it's also funny, I think the week that I hit both the standards in high jump and long jump, I was so swamped with school and senior design and all of the above. So I feel like I didn't really have a lot of time to focus on track. And usually that hinders me, is like usually I or like I don't get enough sleep. So I feel like now this is really helping because I can actually sit down and focus. I'm like, I'm just going to be in the best mindset. I'm going to hydrate. I'm going to fuel. I'm going to sleep really well. And then I'm just going to like lock everything in at practice. We're not doing anything crazy this week. Like we're not training really hard. And I was talking to Coach Johnson today, shot put practice is like, we're not doing anything crazy. We're not trying to change our form. We're just locking everything in. It's just a few throws. And then, yeah, I mean, it's just not nothing crazy. We're not trying to do anything crazy. We just need to feel good. Just really focusing on feeling good. So I feel like it's really helping me this week, just to kind of have some time to chill and yeah, get ready. I'm packing for Nationals, packing for my internship. I still do actually have a lot of things to do. Just comparatively, I'm like, what am I supposed to do?
As you continue to get ready for Nationals, you mentioned as far as the A and B standards. Let's talk about those a little bit. As far as, I think, I don't want to say, if people that are familiar with it understand it completely, but those kind of on the outside, the idea, the difference between a B standard and an A standard and what those mean as far as that the national meet goes.
Yeah, so the NAIA does it a little bit differently than like the NCAA. I think the NCAA just takes like the top 16 declared from every, I think that's for indoor. For outdoor, they have like the regional meet, so you have to get to the top 16 essentially. But for NAIA, they have A and B standards, which essentially the A standards, like they change every single year. Mm-hmm. The A standards attempt to get like the top 20 people-ish, like top 16-ish. But then the B standard is a little bit easier to, not easier, I mean, it's just a little bit lower. So like, let's say the high jump standard, A standard is like 169. Which is almost 5'7", and then like the high jump B standard is 166, which is like 5'5", 5'5", 3/4, I think.
Somewhere in there.
But essentially the standards just change every year and they try to get like 16 to 20 people. But the B standards are a little bit different because it's almost like a provisional type thing where you can only take 3 B standards per gender per team. But then the A standard, you automatically get a go.
Yes.
So it's not limited. The B standard is just kind of like a limited standard. But I don't think we were limited this year. I think like Coulter is like 21st in the JAV right now, but he has the B standard. So it's the top 20 declared. So he might even be like, he might move up one and then essentially it'll count as an A. But I have the B standard in long jump and the B standard in high jump. And then the multi is just top 16 declared. So that's not really an A or a B standard either. No. But I'm not actually doing long jump at Nationals though because it's on day one of the multi. I want to put all my eggs in the multi basket.
And you have look at the schedules, obviously, to see what works, what doesn't work. And like I say, long jump just is not.
Yeah.
Long jump would make it really difficult on day one.
It would. Well, I mean, it would be in the evening. So I would do all 4 of my day one events. And then I would do long jump at the evening, but then I would have to wake up and then do long jump javelin 800 on day 2 for the multi. So I'm like, I'm in a long jump anyways in the multi. So we're just going to try to do that. Indoor next year though will be fun because hopefully I can qualify for all 3. I think technically I hit the indoor long jump standard too in like one of my attached meets, which is also pretty cool.
Okay.
And then I would have qualified my multi that I did. My one multi that I did would have qualified me for Nationals as well. But, yeah, it's pretty fun. Hopefully next year I'll be able to do all 3. That would be pretty sick. But this year too, I am going in high jump and multi, but I've only ever been All-American in the multi. I was like, I think it'd be really cool to get up there on the top 8 in high jump this year.
Yeah.
And I haven't been, I mean, I've jumped pretty consistently. I've jumped the B standard twice and I've attempted like 170, 171 a couple times. I have really good attempts at it. But at conference, that was what I was really proud of. I think I went in at my opening height and then the second height and then the third height was this B standard. And I made it on my first attempt, but then I went and ran the 200. And when I came back, I found out that I had already won high jump. It was like, you could keep jumping if you want. I was like, nah, we'll be fine. I was like, well, I'll jump 170 when it's important.
If it wouldn't have been, you know, 41 degrees, windy, and raining, snowing, would you have tried to go again?
Maybe. I don't know, because at that point, Chuck was also like, we might need you for the 4x4. So I was like, okay. I was also kind of in a lot of pain because I've been having some SI joint issues. So I was like, came off the 200, also high jumping, and I was like, my back hurts. I think I'm just going to leave it right now. I was like, I'm a senior. I'm getting old. I do a lot of events. I joke that like every year that you do the multis adds like 10 years to your life. So,
well, and that has to be something you have to take great care of. I mean, you with doing multis, mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of stress you put yourself under in different situations has to be kind of hard to kind of keep tabs on to make sure you're healthy.
Yeah. Well, that's also why this week is helping out is that I don't have to worry about, you know, school stress. And I can actually just sit and recover and focus on that. So, because, you know, having stress from school also just makes my body not feel very great. Yeah. So, yeah. As you know, even if I try to fake it and show that I handle it pretty well, sometimes it doesn't work like that. Like, it's been draining. It's been draining for sure. Senior year is difficult. But, yeah, we made it through. I got my degree. Well, hopefully they'll mail my diploma.
There you go.
You know.
It's signed and everything's
signed
fine.
And everything will be good. Yeah. yeah.
And saying you're senior, you still have a semester remaining, though.
No, I'm getting my master's next year.
Exactly. Yes, but I mean, so, as far as the athletic side of things, I apologize.
No worries. Yeah.
So and so we're not done after nationals here. You'll have fall.
Yep.
And we'll have volleyball and the indoor season will be ready to roll.
And luckily that's volleyball in the fall and then indoor in the spring semester. And I'm really fortunate that volleyball and track don't technically overlap. I actually think there was one meet last year that did. It was like our December meet for track, but we were at volleyball nationals, which is also really cool. I was like, I've made it to nationals in two collegiate sports, which is huge, which obviously like my volleyball team is amazing. And I don't even think we were expecting it to make it to nationals. But yeah, that was huge. That was really fun. So
How was that last year when you decide, you know what, I'm going to throw it back in and we're going to join the volleyball team? That was the first recruiting trip you came to Montana Tech on. When did those discussions did they continue from like day one all the way through your time up until the junior year where you decided, you know what, I'm going to go help out at volleyball or talk about how that works with Coach Solomon?
So I think what actually happened is like, I was pretty close with Olivia Muir and honestly Reese too, because we were on the student athlete advisory committee together. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of friends on the volleyball team anyways. And I was talking to Olivia Muir and I was like, Liv, I miss volleyball. I'm like, I want to just come practice. And she was like, you need to go talk to Brian. And I was scared for a little bit. I don't know why. I was like, Brian's not that scary. He's fine. but then I finally went and talked to him and I was like, hey, like, I don't know if you need a practice player or anything, but I do really miss volleyball. And like, I want to practice again, even if it's just, you know, just a practice player. And he was like, I don't really do practice players, but, you know, come talk to me. And I'm like, this was, you know, not in his office. And then I think it was like that exact day, because I was also like taking book for them just to get paid. And I also loved watching the games.
Yep.
But I think like one of Brian's friends actually it was so weird. It was that same exact night. But one of Brian's friends was on TFERS, which is like the track and field results reporting system.
Yep.
But he was looking at some of the results from the last year. And he was like looking at the heptathlon and he saw Montana Tech and he was like, Brian, who is this girl from Montana Tech that like high jumps like 5'6", 5'7"? I was like, why haven't you recruited her? And so Brian at that game is like, you high jump 5'6"? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, why didn't you tell me? And I was like, I didn't think it was that important. Like, I'm sorry.
Why didn't you know?
Why didn't you know?
Yeah, it's more on him, I think.
Yeah, and it was just funny because he was like, oh. And then, that conversation continued. And he was like, yeah, I don't do practice players, but, you know, come play with us.
So his tone changed pretty drastically after finding that out.
Well, like, he was interested before. He was like, I don't do practice players, but, like, come talk to me and we'll see about, like, you know, playing, essentially. Yep. But then it just added to it. It wasn't like he was like, no, I don't do practice players. He was like, I don't really do practice players, but, you know, come talk to me. Like, we can discuss that. But yeah, I should preface, that's not the tone that I got from
him. No, I think we should totally make him out to be the bad guy.
I know, I'll make him out to be
the
bad.
He's the bad guy. That had to be a really steep learning curve. Even though you're around it, you're doing book, you're at the table.
Yeah.
Being away from the game for several years and then changing to the collegiate game.
Mm-hmm. And switching positions.
There you go. That had to be a really steep learning curve.
It was. But also, like, I do the multi. I've picked up a lot of events. I do pride myself in being a quick learner. And our assistant coach, Christy, always jokes. Is like, oh, yeah, she just needs to install the driver in her brain, and then all of a sudden it'll be good. Like,
there's truth to that.
Yes, yes. You know, driver installed. That's kind of our joke with me. But, yeah, it was kind of a steep learning curve, and there were obviously things we were working through. It was a little awkward at first. Brian always was like, you know, you just, like, look overstimulated out there. I was like, I definitely did. And he was like, you're too smart for this sport. Like, you need to just, like, dumb your brain down, essentially, and just don't think. So it was a learning curve for that mostly. And I was like, I promise, like, I'm not thinking too much. I'm sorry if it looks like I'm overstimulated. But, yeah, it was pretty fun. And playing right side was pretty fun. Obviously, I started practicing with them in the middle of their season, my junior year. So I traveled with them a bit. And just, you know, got to know the team and had fun with them. And then I did a few spring tournaments as well. And then, come fall, I just jumped right in, just pretty much right side. But I am switching positions again this year, back to middle.
Okay.
And I actually am pretty excited because I did play middle in high school. That's going to be another learning curve. I feel like this one might even be more difficult because right side is pretty much you just had a block on one side. And giving myself a little bit more room in my approach on the right side was pretty easy. The biggest thing this year is like space and then also blocking to both sides, but just trusting that I'm athletic enough.
Yes.
We're going to be good. I can jump high. I'll get my hands over the net. We'll be good. So.
I felt like you were giving yourself a pep talk there.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. I'm not the tallest middle. I'm only 5'10", but I can jump. So
yeah.
Like,
and
I
that's
still have
the
highest reach on the team. So yeah. I'm like, we'll be good.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, you coming into that role, it's not like, you know, it's not like you can't continually jump and not only jump once or twice in a set, but you can get up off your feet, you know, 8-9 times in a set if need be.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for you.
I'm really excited. I was also actually just talking to Brian. He was joking. He was like, oh, yeah, Chuck just asked me about, like, you know, doing some more sprint work in the fall. Just so I'm not as behind on, like, my sprint, I guess, how in shape I am for my sprints. But Brian was like, well, what if, you know, you just did it right after practice and then you had, like, 15 other volleyball players join and we could all do sprints? And I was like, no, why not? So that was kind of funny. I was like, Brian, that'd be great. We could all sprint. He had me like write a few, because we do obviously have summer workouts. And I remember last year he was like, do you want to write like a little track workout, like a sprints workout for us? And I was like, oh, sure.
I could see that.
Fun. It was just like flying 30s, but it was just.
Well, but still, the reason he's doing is it's so you're the bad guy. So he can be like, hey, Abby wrote these up.
Abby did. He was like, sorry, Abby wrote this workout.
Completely removes himself from it.
Take your complaints to her. Oh, yeah. And because Brian does that. He's hilarious. Yep. He will.
Completely agree. So from Nationals. So Nationals are, what are we, is it 21st through 23rd? Is that right?
I believe so. Yep.
And then from there, you'll go head directly to, and actually we'll talk Nationals again here in a moment, but, you'll go directly to your internship over the summer. Is that the case?
Yep. So I will fly back and I'm actually really excited because usually my schedules, travel schedules for internships are really weird where like I won't travel with the team to Nationals or like I'll leave from Nationals, but this year I get to fly with my team to Nationals and I get to fly with my team back. And then once I get into Belgrade, pretty much have my car ready there and we'll drive down to Louisiana.
Okay.
So, and we'll get Memorial Day off of work. So I'll have a couple days to actually like get down there. But yeah, then I'll start work immediately, which will be pretty fun.
Good for you.
It's part of my master's project too. So essentially working on my master's project this summer at the facility that I'm at. So
you'll be getting your master's credits while you're doing your internship.
Not necessarily my credits, but like the actual project.
Okay.
Yeah. So like all of the base, like, you know, literature review, and I'll get to run all my plant trials there at the plant and Who knows? I heard a little rumor that maybe I'll be able to fly to the division that I was at last summer and do some plant trials there. It might be like a little phase two, but I really hope so because a lot of my friends are down there again this summer. But yeah, and that's I was in South Carolina, essentially Charleston last summer.
Okay.
And that's where I want to go full time, at least for a couple years. So
okay. And Nucor is who you're with as far as
Nucor.
Okay.
Yep.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Pretty fun. This will be my third internship with Nucor too.
Okay.
I took a break in between. I worked for a mining company my sophomore year and I loved Utah and it was great because I was born down there. I lived with some old family friends, but mining wasn't for me. So.
Well, and that's the beauty of your degree. Like yeah. It can go in so many different ways. It's crazy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go back to nationals for a minute. When you prepare for nationals, I would assume even though you're not competing against some people that are probably at the top of the podium as far as the multis go between the outdoor and the indoor seasons, you're real familiar with who your opponents are going to be or who you're going to be racing against. Yeah. and going after.
Yes, very familiar with a lot of them. And you kind of – I love the multis because – you get to know your competition really well. And I mean, you're together for like two whole days, essentially. And if you're just kind of in your own bubble, you're not going to have a very fun time. So I like know a lot of, especially the top six on the list right now. There's a lot of girls from the Cascade Conference from like Eastern Oregon, Southern Oregon, LC State. So I know a lot of them and I'm really close with a lot of them. We we cheer each other on in between. Yeah. Like they just had their conference meet this last week and I was having fun watching them. But yeah, so I keep in touch with them and always rooting for them, even though like we get competitive when we're at nationals, but it's also like you're competing against yourself. Like, like I said, I struggle with hurdles and, one athlete that's really good at the hurdles is Caitlin McCauley from Dickinson. And so I'm always like watching her. I'm like, she's so good. You know, we'll never be as fast as her in the hurdles, but I just need to focus on myself. And then it's always, sometimes I get discouraged after the hurdles. That's always a hard event for me. Cause I'll usually be a little bit more towards the bottom, even if I run well. And I'm like, you know what, just need to refocus and go on to the next. But then like high jump, long jump, even shot put, I get points in those events. I'm ranked pretty high and the 800. So it's just like, you're competing against yourself. And obviously you want to win, you want to do good, but like, even though I got third last year, I got 300 points better from my previous year that I did it. I placed the same. I got third both years, but I was like 4,800 to like 5,126 last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always little victories. You're always really proud of yourself after it, but you can still really be happy for the people that do really well. So like Abby Stevens and Rebecca Dutchuk is the one that won last year. Abby Stevens won indoor. And I remember being really happy for her watching the indoor. Yeah. The multis are just great. Like you just get a really good group of people that you get to compete against. And yeah, like I said, it's competitive, but it's also just fun.
Do you have, and please correct me if this is not the case, but do you go into events like say with somebody that you know is exceptional in one event, especially if it's in a race format, whether it's the 800 or the hurdles where you're like, I need to stay within X of that individual. Do you do that type of thing as far as mentally thinking about the
sometimes
points?
Sometimes. I feel like the only one that I really do that for is the 800.
Okay.
And I've never really been in a position where actually, last year I was. I think I was slightly ahead of Caitlin McCauley going into the last event, the 800. I was in third. She was in fourth. Or maybe I was in fourth, sixth. I can't remember. Anyways, we were just like stacked right next to each other. And so essentially in my mind, I was like, I just can't let her beat me by too much. And I didn't really know how much that gap was, but in my mind, I was like, what if I just beat her, essentially?
Yep.
And obviously, we've known each other for a lot, and I have this really good memory from last year where we're going into the last 300, and we're actually talking to each other during the race, because I think we pass, I think we were in like fourth or fifth or fifth or sixth or something, because we passed the girl that was ahead of us, and Caitlin is literally like, okay, come on, Abby, we got to go. And you can see us in the video. We just fall into stride, and we just shoot out from the pack. And we're neck and neck the whole time. She passes me a little bit on the corner, and then I think I swing around her and pass her. But you can see us, like, we actually talk to each other in the race.
Good
and then
you.
Shoot out. It's really funny, but it was a good memory because... and then there's also pictures of us where like I cross the line and I turn around and I just give her a big hug right after. And she's a two-time national champ too, which is awesome. Yeah. But like getting to beat her last year, like I said, it can be anybody's race. But yeah, she went from like first and then she still PR'd and then got fourth the next year. So it was like things can just, the multi is crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a very fond memory of just, you know, us literally talking to each other and pushing each other in the race in like a very, very positive way. So
we talk about the weather up here and obviously the Frontier Conference meet in Helena was awful. Mm-hmm. As most track meets are in spring in Montana. But obviously that's not going to be the case at Nationals. Mm-hmm. You're going to be dealing with heat probably.
Yeah.
Are we starting to already see long-term forecasts? What we're expecting?
I haven't really looked. Okay. Coach and I were kind of, I think I didn't look at it, but Coach looked at it today because when I was at Shotput, it was a little bit rainy and like 35 degrees. But you know, that's what we're used to in Montana. Even if it's a little bit rainy there, I think I'll be okay. Normally, I feel like people go to the humidity from Montana and they're like, this is horrible.
It's normally
trouble. I remember
trouble.
Talking to Tucker Monaco last year and he was saying like the heat is horrible. But after working in a steel mill for several summers and the mining industry for several summers, I feel like I have some good habits. Like I will drink so many bottles of water in the summer and I use the bathroom about 20 times a day. But I feel like I've developed those good habits and I've like recognize the signs of like heat exhaustion. So I don't know, maybe I just like, I feel like I haven't really noticed the heat and the humidity as bad.
Okay.
I can't even say like, oh yeah, I do a really good job about doing this. It's not like I think about it in the, while I'm there,
yeah.
But I don't ever remember it affecting me so badly.
Okay.
You know,
which I think is kind of a rarity. Cause I think normally, you know, we obviously have the oxygen advantage. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll go down, you'll drop the 5,000 feet and there yeah. The air will be much thicker for you.
Yes.
But that heat and humidity is something that people have real problems mm-hmm. with.
Yeah, I think, so I don't really have a lot of events where the elevation drop affects, but it does help the recovery in between events a lot.
Okay.
Especially, it does help in the 800. I always run, like, closer to 230 at elevation. And like this year I ran a 232 in the multi, but the wind was horrible the day of the multi and I essentially ran it alone. So I'm hoping to run pretty fast while I'm there. But yeah, the heat and humidity, I remember it being like warm and I remember it being hot, like hot and humid, but I remember it mostly like affecting me positively, like in the 200, like I ran really well. I was like, I felt really warmed up. I felt really good. But, yeah, I don't know. It's still something I'm going to consider and drink a lot of water, especially this week. Like I'm trying to recover. I'm like, I'm going to hydrate. I'm going to fuel. I'm going to feel as good as I can before I travel. But yeah, the heat and humidity is kind of a pain. But like I said, I've worked in Memphis, Tennessee for a summer in the melt shop where you have like full fireproof like suit essentially. And you're working next to these big ladles with like 2000 degree steel with like the radiant heat. So kind of learned that quick where you have to drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
But it's like, I've been in very, very hot situations. So I feel like, I don't know. It doesn't, not too bad.
Good
I actually
you.
Like the humidity now. Cause I was in Memphis. I was in Charleston. I'll be in Louisiana this summer. So
you might be the first person I've ever heard say that.
Yeah. It's just kind of funny. I don't know. I never thought that I liked the humidity. And then I went down to Florida this Christmas, and I was like, this is so nice. I need this back.
Let's talk the difference as you know, this being your final outdoor.
Mm-hmm.
And you look back at yourself and growth and change, and everybody, especially these years, you know, there's so much growth and change in a person. What do you know now that you didn't know then that you wish you did? You know, what wisdom would you impart on your freshman self in the realm of track, in the realm of school, in the realm of life? What would you tell yourself, now?
So freshman year is kind of funny because I feel like I didn't really care as much freshman year. I was like, oh, I made my college team. Like, here we are.
Yep.
Which seems so like, not like me. I was really focused on school though. I made sure, I think I got 4.0 all throughout like my freshman, sophomore year. And then obviously classes got harder and I'm in engineering and I was a dual sport athlete at that point in junior year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like I just didn't care as much, nor did I have as big of a belief in myself. And I feel like that really came, my first conference multi where in high jump, I'd been getting better in high jump. Like I said, I was only jumping 5 foot in high school. And I had a couple PRs, and then we reached a point where I was the only one left in the multi. And then Coach Kuhn was like, let's just put it up at the standard. Like, let's just put it up to the B standard. And I remember thinking, like, why? I've never attempted this height. This seems so outrageous. And I think it was like you put it up 7 centimeters or something like that. And usually you only go up 3 centimeters in the multi and then 5 in any regular meet, yep, which is like around 2 inches. But we put it up to 164 and I made it on my very first attempt. And I was like, whoa. And then I went to nationals and actually did pretty good at nationals that year too. I didn't qualify in the multi for anything my freshman year, but I remember getting to nationals my sophomore year and, or not nationals, but even just starting my sophomore year. And I was like, I'm going to be an All-American. I was like, I think I can do it. And I remember my very first meet was the multi and I had a massive, massive PR. And I think I can't remember what I placed up on that list, but it was pretty high. So it was my first time actually qualifying in a multi and it was huge. And first time I went to nationals in a multi, I got All-American. I got 4th place. Cool. So I was like, whoa, like this is crazy. And honestly, that year, sophomore year, I went really, really hard in the fall and then really, really hard in indoor. And I was a little bit injury riddled in outdoor. And it just wasn't as good. Definitely felt like I kind of peaked in indoor that year and then just kind of fell off. I just wasn't feeling my best. And then junior year, wasn't as happy with indoor. And then outdoors when I just like had that amazing PR at the conference multi where I went over 5,000 points, which was huge because only in the past 3 years, I think only 2 people had done it. And I was only at the nationals meet. And then at nationals, 51.26, another PR, still got 3rd. But I think there were 5 women over 5,000 points, yeah, which was huge, insanely competitive year. And I'm so happy I was able to be a part of that because it was so fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, this year it's a little bit different because I had volleyball in the fall. I redshirted indoor, but everything has just been building to this point. Like I said, I feel like I haven't really had an outstanding year, but I've just been raising my floor. I was like, I don't need to PR right now. I just need to PR at nationals. I need to peak at nationals. And I was like, I just put all of the eggs in the multi-basket for this. I want to win. I was like, I've set my goals. I know I can do it. I know I'm capable. I was like, we just need to line it all up to be there.
You know, even talking to you now as opposed to last year, mm-hmm, the belief in yourself feels, yeah, like it's through the roof, yes, as opposed to even last year.
Even last year, I remember getting 5,000 and I was like, oh my goodness, like there's going to be so many people over 5,000. I never once had the thought of like, I could be national champion. And I was like, why not?
Exactly.
It's like, usually if I just set a goal and even if I don't, what's that? That's not the end of the world. It's like, nobody's going to care about your accomplishments as much as you do. So why not like set those goals for you and actually believe that you're going to do it? You know, I was like,
well, here's you going and kicking behind here.
I'm so excited. It's going to be so fun. But yeah, there are some things where it's like, I didn't put up the best score in my conference multi. I did what I needed to at conference, but I wasn't like the best marks. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to prove to myself that I'm raising my floor and that I'll peak when I need to. So I feel like that's the biggest thing is sometimes I get worried. Sometimes I'm putting pressure on myself, but I just have to trust like all the pieces are fitting together. I'm not trying to do anything crazy this week. I'm a veteran. I've been here before.
Yep.
Like, and it's fun. You know, the multis is like you get better with every year. And that's the biggest thing is sophomore year. I was like, oh my goodness, this is my first time at nationals for the multis. This is crazy. And last year also at nationals I felt like a veteran. I didn't have so much stress on myself and it was fun. I mean, I did actually after day one, I was really distraught about my hurdles and then my high jump. But then even looking back, I was like, I had such a good day one. Like, what are you talking about, Abby?
Exactly.
But then, yeah, it was like, I was really hard on myself, but I also didn't really have a lot of pressure going in. This year, I'm really just trying to like let it all go.
And I hope you stay, yeah, there. I hope you stay carefree. Yeah. You stroll in, you give all your, yeah, you give all your competitors hugs and,
yes,
you go in and just roll.
Yes. And I'm so excited. Like the people, I think there's only one person placed above me and her name's Abby Stevens. And we've been competing against each other since freshman year high jump. Yeah. And that's incredible. I love her. She's an amazing athlete and she's so sweet. And like I said, she was national champion indoor, and it's always a blessing to be able to compete against her and these other athletes, and I'm so excited. I am missing Lizzie Grandel. I'm going to name drop her really quick because she's from Eastern Oregon, and she unfortunately tore her ACL at indoors, and I'm so bummed because I'm not going to see her at this year or next year probably indoor. But I'm rooting for her when she's at outdoor next year, and I'm going to be rooting for her. And yeah, there's just so many women in the multi that I've gotten really close with.
Good.
And there's one, Renee Fink. She committed to SMU. Okay. So I don't think she's competing this year because she's also had some injuries, but she's going to SMU next year. And so I'm just so happy to see all of these people excelling. And yeah, well, it's
and
just
again,
so fun.
It speaks to who you are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's more than, you know, the medal, it's more than the podium. There's a whole lot beyond it. And I think that says, way more about yourself than it does.
But that's also cool. It's like, I remember when Abby got second last year and Becca won, like we were all supporting each other. Everybody on the podium, we were like congratulating Rebecca. Yeah. And I was like, I don't see that in any other event. I was like, no matter what you do, like the multis all just kind of crowd together. And it's like, congrats to everybody. We finished it. We made it through another year.
It's your own little lunch table. You just kind
of
hang out.
It's kind of just like I said, nobody's going to care as much as you, but the multis always support each other. Yeah. So like, that's also why I love what I do. So,
I'll give you one final one before we get out of here is when you look at the track program here at Montana Tech now, as opposed to when you started it, you have to feel awful proud about the foundation that has been put down moving forward.
Yeah. And I feel like a big part of that is, you know, four-peat for women conference champions.
It's incredible.
But then also like,
did you have pressure? Did you feel pressure on that this year? Or have you at all, I guess, at any time?
I felt maybe a few nerves. I didn't necessarily feel pressure. I wasn't like, oh my goodness, people are expecting us to do this.
Yep.
It was more pressure on myself, but I was also like, not. I was a little bit worried, but there was a point on the second day of multis where Alika and I are just looking at each other. It was like, okay, I mean, we're the seniors. Like, let's go do our events. And then she goes and like runs 14.8 in the hurdles, her first time under 15, and wins. And I was like, oh yeah, like,
yeah,
means business now. So I mean, like, I feel like I had nerves, but I didn't really feel pressure because it was just like, you know, we're just gonna do what we need to do. And we did. And also a huge thing is like, we got the Bandy Award back, and we have for 3 consecutive years.
Bingo.
And that started after track. That started the first year that men's and women's won. Men's and women's track won together. That was the first year we got the Bandy Award
again.
And so I was like, that was huge. That was amazing.
Yeah. So it's funny how it has always come down to track. Mm-hmm. You know, that the points have been always so close.
Yeah.
And every year since that first, so this will be the third year we've won the Bandy. And every year that points, that it has gotten wider and wider.
Didn't we only win by like half a point that first year?
I think it was even less than that.
It was like 0.2 or something.
It was a small fraction of a point. And I think last year was like maybe one or two points.
And this year was like
five.
Goodness. Even though the men
took second.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
That one hurt. I feel like that one hurt a little bit more. It felt different this year. Winning was great, but I definitely hurt for my fellow seniors that were on the men's team that couldn't get their three-peat. It was really hard, but I was also really proud of a lot of them. And it was really hard because we went through a lot of coaching changes, my class did.
Yes.
And then finally having Chuck this year, so many of them got so much faster. I only think we've maybe had one person under 11 seconds for the men in the 100, and we had 5 this year in our conference, and 4 of them were from Tech.
Yeah.
And I was like,
you look forward as far as track and field goes, it's going to be awful fun to see where this thing takes off and continues to climb to.
Yeah. I was like, I definitely feel bad for my fellow seniors this year, but I'm like, you guys set the base.
100%.
And most of the people from my class stayed all 4 years.
Yeah.
I was like, that's huge. Yeah. So,
Abby, thank you for your time again. I mean, if you want to come in and talk tomorrow for an hour and a half, we can. That's completely fine.
I think that's funny. I think the podcast needs to know that we had a dress rehearsal. We had a full dress rehearsal.
We did a full, and I was fantastic. Computers hate me.
Yeah. Well, I think it's more fun because my voice sounds a little bit worse today, and I was coughing a lot more. So, you know, it's making your job a little bit more fun. We made it through no cuts yesterday, and now, you know, we just need it out a little bit more.
Yeah, and who knows what tomorrow's going to bring.
Who knows? Who knows?
I cannot thank you enough. I am super proud to call myself an Ortiger because of the what you have done through your time here. You're a badass. That's all there is to it.
Thank you so much. I'm hoping I can continue to support as I go through my career. So
darn right.
We'll see. I had a dream. I told Felicia this. I actually had a dream last night that I, it was like 5 years post-grad, and I came back and I was talking to her about like the plans for the indoor track that we're going to put in. And yes. I was like, oh, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
There we go.
That was a funny little dream. But. Okay.
And actually, that's a good segue, too, because Felicia's going to come talk to me soon. So,
yes.
So we'll get Felicia on here, and we'll talk to an Olympian.
Awesome. Who also already has a podcast. So.
Isn't she incredible? And that's what I told her. I'm like, you have no excuse. Like, you have your own podcast, so guess what? You have to talk to me.
Awesome. Can't wait to listen to that one, too. So,
Abby, thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Go kick ass at Nationals.
Oh, I will.
Once again, my thanks to Abby Clark for joining me here for Roll Digs, the official podcast of Montana Tech Athletics. As Abby mentioned, and as we were just chatting about, Felicia Johnson, our throws coach, will join us here on Roll Digs shortly. Felicia has done just an incredible job as she has joined the program here this second year. And she, of course, a former Olympian as far as the shot put goes. We're going to talk to her about her path to the Olympics and her path here to Montana Tech. And, I mean, it's just our continuing joke. Athletic Director Matt Steppen will join us here for Roll Digs sooner or later. So make sure to like, subscribe, share, whatever the case is. Get the word out. And as always, thanks for joining us for Roll Digs. I'm Paul Panisco. Until next time, take care.